Also, put your hands together for our speaker, Patricia. I was gonna say Curtis. I thought he was gonna bring her all the way up. Patricia Young. Give her a good God bless you. High five, Patricia.
Well, thank God. I'm so happy and excited to be before you guys. Gita reached out to me and asked me if I would give the message on today. I had already known that she knew she was going to be reaching out to me. I had written down on a note card saying that they were going to ask me to give the message. So I'm as excited as you guys are. I have no idea what God has in store for all of us, because this is not just for you. This is for me also. And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And she said, faith and favor. And I was like, okay, we can talk about faith and favor. And a friend of mine reached out to me a few weeks ago. She said, what we're going to do is we're going to take the word faith and make a favor statement out of it. And she said, take the word faith and out of each letter of faith, come up with your faith, your favor statement. So my favor statement is faith abounds increasingly through him, in him. And so that's something that I've committed unto memory, because favor abounds increasingly through him. And so that's something that God has tremendously done in my life. It's very humbling. I might get a little bit emotional because of God just being so good. He's just so good. It's almost without putting in the words. I could say it over and over again and still not get the full revelation of how good God is. Pastor was saying, look back over your life and see what God has done for you. I could just look to last month or last year and just see the miracles of God just being a manifestation in my life, because he's just that good. He's just that kind of God. He doesn't run out of blessings. He doesn't run out of favor. He is not going to favor me and leave you hanging. That's just not how God is. He's a good God. He is a good God. He is very good to us. So I'll jump right into it. I won't be very long before you guys, but just know God sent me. And so if he sent me, he has something for you. So I thank God for that. So faith means trustworthiness, faithful, expectation, hope, and benefit. Favor is graciousness, beauty, is safe, as well as health. It's a benefit given. It's kindness, and it's good. During my morning devotion this morning, I have this favor book that someone has sent me several years ago, and it's a part of my morning daily devotion. And I was on day 35 today, and I just thought it was so appropriate. It says, with God's favor, you can't help but prosper. And then it went on to say, when the unmerited favor of God is upon you, wherever you are, like it was upon Joseph, you cannot help but find favor. Everything that you do cannot help but prosper. You cannot help but experience increase and promotion beyond your wildest dreams. Beyond your wildest dreams. I'm telling you, God is doing some great things. And I'm just telling you about what he's doing for me. And I'm sure if you guys were up here, you'll be telling me what he has been doing for you. Amen. So on January 3rd of last year, we were at home in COVID. You know, I had a little faith lapse. I did. I truly did. I was like, my pastor in Chicago, my old pastor in Chicago died from COVID. And so I went on to immediate lockdown. And so as a result, we were sitting at home watching Pastor virtually. Thank God he didn't leave his faith. He continued to come in and just show faith before us so that we can grab hold of that faith and, you know, come in and ourselves and believe God was going to protect us. But during that message, I was sitting at home and I was just listening. And I'm telling you, God, he doesn't care what you're doing. He's going to talk to you when he wants to. And he said, the word for your household this year is increase. I said, okay. I'll take that, and I write down everything I believe God tells me, because I believe he's going to do what he says he's going to do, no matter what it looks like. I truly believe when God tells me something that he's going to do it. However, in one scripture that I like to tie scripture to what God says, because he's a God of his word, he talks about the Bible said God will increase us more and more, us and our seed. So that Bible verse it connected me to what God was saying. However, we went nearly the entire year without seeing any increase. And I'm like, okay, this is not looking like what God said. But you can't look at the natural things. The natural things will trick you, and they will trip you up, and they'll make you start doubting God. So I kept my eyes off of the natural things, and I just continued to obey God. In Psalm 2, 7, and 9, I love this scripture in the Message translation. It says, let me tell you what God said next. He said, you're my son, and today is your birthday. What do you want? Name it. Nations as a present? Continents as a prize? You can command them all to dance for you or throw them out with tomorrow's trash. That's what God is asking us. He's like, this your, you know, you had your born again date. God was like, this your birthday. All of these things come with your birth. You know, God has so many blessings for us, but we have to believe what God says. I mean, I think about when I first got saved, I didn't know the word, but I tell you, I had a New Testament translation. I didn't understand most of what I read, but I just kept reading it, and I was taking a train, and I would just read it every day. I was just immersing my mind in the Word of God, and then the Holy Spirit began to enlighten me with what the Bible was saying. And I started believing it, and I started seeing transformation. But it wasn't until I got the Word in me, and I'm telling you, the Word is what we need. The Word is the power of God. You know, it is the power of God. And we think about the Word, and I recently did a study on the Word, and we think about the Word. God, all of this is here because he just opened his mouth and said something. When you think about that, we would not even be here if God didn't say, light be. We wouldn't be here. He could have took us and formed us, but we'd have been in darkness if he didn't give us light. You know, we need everything. He knew what we needed before he brought us on the scene, so he gave us everything that we needed. And so we have to watch our words and watch the things that come out of my mouth. I mean, I could sit with you for maybe an hour and I could tell where you are. I hope that you could sit with me with an hour of my conversation and say, this is a woman of faith. Because I do not want to be a person that come around and have doubt and look like the future is so bleak when God is still great. Whenever God is great, we could just continue to watch God and he's going to change the situations around. In Genesis 37, 5 through 7, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, please listen to the dream I had. We were tying grain into bundles out in the field, and suddenly mine stood up. It remained standing while your bundles gathered around my bundles and bowed down to it. That's when Joseph's trials happened. He gave the word, and after the word came, the trials came. And that's in Psalm 105:19. The promise tested Joseph through fiery trials until his prediction came to pass, which was God's word. So even though Joseph, the word was given to him, he was like, yeah, you are going to be bound to me and all of these things. I'm going to be up here. You're going to be down there. He had no idea what was next to come. He was going to be put in a pit. He was going to go and be put in slavery. Then he was going to go to jail. But then God's word was still alive. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That's the word of God. So the word, nothing can stop the word of God. When God tells you something, who can stop God from doing what he said he was going to do? Stop looking at the natural. The natural does not take over the spiritual. When God say, I'm going to do this, who can stand in his way and say, no, you're not? You can. You can say, I don't believe God. I don't believe what God say. But God, when he tells us something, he's bad enough by himself just to do it. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need you to come by and say, God, I can help you with that. We saw that happen with Sarah and Abraham, and that didn't work out very well. So we just sit back and relax, even when it doesn't look like it's going to happen. God is not a liar. He doesn't have time to waste his words. We might bump our gums all day saying nothing, changing no situations, and not making a difference. But God don't waste his words. He everything he say, I mean, it has a purpose behind it. So we have to believe what he says. And so during Joseph's time as the prime minister of Egypt, in Genesis 43:26, when Joseph came home, they gave him gifts. These are his brothers. Remember, his brothers were coming, and he didn't know his identity had not been revealed. They had brought to him gifts to his house. And then the scripture said, then they bowed down to him with their faces touching the ground. I like that it said their faces touching the ground, because that showed you they was really bowed down low. We bow our heads and, you know, we feel like we done bowed and did something. No, the Bible said their faces was touching the ground, and in line right up to what Joseph, the word of God gave Joseph. He said, you guys are going to be bowing to me. But I just believe so much had happened in that time. There might have been some humility taking place, because when they got there, Joseph could have had them taken out. But he said, I was sent here for, you know, for this purpose, to save you all, you know. So his heart might have been changed. I don't know what his heart was. I don't even want to say what it was, because the Bible doesn't give us information on that. But there must have been something that changed by the time they met him, because they hated him before he left. And that's why he ended up in the pit. And then that was when the word was fulfilled. And I wrote down, I'm going to say this again. When God makes a promise, you can believe him. Who is going to stop him from making good on his word? And Genesis 37:2 mentions that Joseph was 17 years old, but I'm not sure how old he was when he had the dream. However, I do know some time had lapsed between the time that he had the dream and the time that the promise had come to pass. But during those times, we know there were several trials. He was lied on by somebody's wife that said he tried to do something. He was put in prison, put into an Egyptian prison. And then he was, you know, released, and God just used him. But every trial that we go through, I really believe there's a purpose attached to it. You know, Joseph went and he got locked up. They sent for him. And as a result of that, what did Pharaoh get to do? He got to find out about who the one true God was. You know, he was like, well, this is what God says is about to happen. And it really happened. And so when I think about my life and just started reflecting when Pastor was talking to telling us to look back, I think about how I came from the west side of Chicago, very poor family, been told I wasn't going to amount to anything, and I started to, hey, when I turned a teenager, I was making sure I was making that word come to pass, because I was not doing what anybody should have been doing at the age that I was. And just the fact that God took me out and began to change my life around, it just began to amaze me. And I look back, and my first two kids' father, he walked out, and I was there without a job, thinking about public aid and my grandparents. I mean, for a period of time, I was on a very short period of time, but my grandparents were not ones that taught us to live on the government. So I got a job at the Hyatt Regency Chicago as a housekeeper. I did that job like it was, I feel like I was one of the best housekeepers that they had. I didn't do what other people did. Some people said, I'm not changing the sheets. I'm not doing this. They were cutting corners. I said, I'm not doing that. I didn't do that, but I never told anybody I was not doing that. And one of the managers walked up to me one day. She said, you do not look like a housekeeper. I'm sending you downtown Chicago to apply for an office position. I didn't know this lady. I didn't know anything about working in an office. All I knew was the streets. That's all that I knew. But when God's hand is on you, I don't care what you need or what you know or who you know, because I didn't know anybody. So I went downtown Chicago and got the job and began down there, and to glory to God, there was a purpose attached to that, because I met my husband there. And then not only that, he introduced me to the Lord. And that's when the true transformation began. And so it's a purpose behind things. And so when I left that place, I went to another place called Follett. And God, I didn't know what God was doing. He was sending me there, and there were some things that were being done that were illegal, and employees were being mistreated. And he had me to stand up for people, and I wasn't even in the position to do that in the natural. But in the spiritual world, he's concerned about everybody, and he wants people to be treated fairly, and I stood up for them. And so God began to use me even in that. But he started, everywhere he sent me, it was with a purpose. But I tell you, God is so good. He would bring promotion, bonuses, increase, favor in ways that you couldn't even imagine. And I'm telling you, the bonus and the increases, I'm not talking about the bonuses that came at the regular time or the pay increases that came at the regular time. I got those, but then he'll be like, I'm going to give you a little extra throughout the year. And so I just began to see God just move and manifest in my life, and I began to see people's lives change. So the one thing I was going to mention is, don't be surprised at who God uses to minister to you or to change someone's life. Because I don't have a degree. I came from a drug dealing background. My first two kids' father I'm talking about big million-dollar drug dealers, not, you know, standing on the corner selling drugs. I'm talking about people that took cops to jail when they went to jail with them because the cops were on their payroll. And so I come from a life that was not one of that had the looks of a church because I was not saved. So I did not live a saved life. I lived like I was in the world. But God didn't look at all of that. Or maybe he did and said, you know what, I'm going to take that girl and I'm going to amaze her first, and then I'm going to amaze the people that see her. Because I tell you, I look back and I'm like, how in the world did God do that to get me from there to get me here? But God's ways are higher than our ways. He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So we can't look at the, I'm telling you, I can't say it enough. You cannot look at the natural and want something spiritual to happen. You cannot look at things in the natural because God cannot work through the natural. God is not a man. The Bible says that he's not a man. God is a spirit. He's not being used by worldly situations or things that happen carnally. He's just not doing that. When I think about Joseph and how, you know, God had told him what was going to happen with Pharaoh and Egypt and all of those things. But remember, Joseph didn't go to school to learn how to deal with a global crisis. He didn't go to school to know how to save the grain so that in 7 years they'll have enough for the, you know, the seven bad years. It was a lot of things he didn't have. But one thing he had, and the scripture just kept saying it, but the Lord was with him. But the Lord was with him. But the Lord was with him. It never said that Joseph's daddy taught him how to count grain and you save this much grain for this year and that much grain. God was with him. Stop depending in the arm of the flesh. Let God lead you. When God says something to you, I don't care who it is. Some things you don't even need to share. I didn't call Jeter and say, you're going to be calling me to tell me to tell a message. No, I just sit back and I wait for God's timing. When God wants something to happen, he knows how to make it happen. God is a man of his word. He is a man of his word. And I tell you, some of you guys have some things that God has promised you. There are some things we're waiting on. Kurt and I have been waiting on faithfully, waiting on God to show us. Pull them back out. Pull them back out. Review them. If you didn't write them down, ask God to put them back in your memory so that you can put these things down. Put them on paper. I have so many binders and booklets that look similar to this with words that God has promised us, and then I date them. You know, Kurt, we both date them as God do certain things. Believe what God tell you. He told me one day I was sitting there reading his word, and sometimes I read the Bible, and I'm not saying this happens so often, but it's like it becomes like a rush where it's all my brain could take. It's just so good. Like I have to take a break and sit back and like, I got to think about this for a minute, God. But this one day I was reading and he said, read my word like it's true. I was like, I thought I was, but evidently I wasn't, because he is not going to tell me something that I'm not doing. So it took me a moment. I said, okay, now I got to sit back and really meditate on what he just said, because it's something that I need to change in my study patterns that I'm not doing. And so I just asked you, just when you don't know what to do, you just ask God. You know, he will tell you what to do. And so some things I really wanted to talk to you guys about. I know my time is near the end, but God began to do in that year what looked like nothing was going to happen. And my daughter don't know this, but there were some things that God had told us to do, and she's going to be surprised she's here today. God was having us give on levels we could not even imagine. We didn't even make that much money. I'm just going to be honest. I don't even know how he did it. But he started having us, I would go to the grocery store one day, I was in Meijer, and I was hearing this couple behind me, and they were like counting up their food. Thought they were talking real low, and they were, but I guess God just magnified their words so I could hear them. And he said, pay for their food. Because they were sitting there, they were like, we got this, they was counting. And then they said, we got to make sure we have enough money left so that we can have gas for the week. And so I just waited, I didn't say anything to them. Their cart was loaded too. I was like, oh, okay. And so I get to the line, and I whisper to the cashier, I said, I'm going to pay for their food. So they started ringing everything up. I said, don't tell them. I said, just ring it up. I'm going to wait over here. When you're ready for the bill, I'll come over and pay it. So they rang it up, and she said, somebody's going to pay for your bill. I just came over, swiped my card, made sure everything went through, and I left. And so I was like, okay, this doesn't look like increase. And so I went to... I went to, Kurt and I was in, we were in Aldi, another time we were in a line, we had like a few items, and it's like, all these lines were just long. And this couple, two guys, they were young guys, they called over from another line, they were like, come over here, you can get in front of us. So I was like, sometimes, you know, other people behind you might get mad at them for letting you in. So, but they said, come on over. And as we were paying for our groceries, Laura said, pay for their groceries. I said, Kurt, we got to pay for their groceries. So we paid for their groceries. I looked at their cart. I was like, their cart full. So I was like, okay, this doesn't look like increase either. And so we kept finding out about people that needed money. And some people, God was like, give them amounts that we like, Lord, okay, we're going to give it. We're going to give it. It wasn't begrudgingly or anything like that. But I'm like, this is not landing over that word. On January 3rd, you said, we're going to be you. We're going to be increased this year. And so then one day I was just laying in the house and the Lord had impressed on my heart to do something. I told my husband, he was like, okay, well, let's do it. So we drove up to Chicago and we went to several automobile dealerships. He told us to buy a car for somebody. So we went around, we looking for a car. We couldn't, you know, didn't know what to get the person. So we found one and we were like so excited, like it was our car. And we came with a price and told the dealership we wanted this one. And then we called the person. The person had no idea we were there. We called the person. We were like, hey, we're in town. We just bought you a car. We just need you to come up here and put it in your name. And I was like, okay, now God, this really don't look like increase. I'm saying minus, 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 minus. When are we going to start to see the plus and the times? Because I wanted to see the times, you know, multiplication. And so I was like, okay, this is, but the, you know what the beauty was? Every time I gave, it was just like such a joy. I mean, it was just so joyous. Like here, it's your birthday. Today is your birthday. Here's a gift for you. It's your birthday. You know, that's how I felt, like I was giving somebody a birthday gift. And so they were all excited, like, what? You know, each one of them were like, this really happening? Is this a dream? You know, that's how God is. He'll start blessing you and pouring out favor on you, and you'll be like, is this really even real? I'm telling you, I'm living sometime. I told Kurt I feel like I'm in La La Land because this is too good to be true almost. But I know it's true because I'm living in it. And so I'm just going to tie it up because I got this call on November 5th, I believe. A lady that I know of, but not like know of, she sent me a text and she said, hey, the state is looking for HR directors and I thought of you. Send me your resume. That's all she said. She ain't say, you interested? Nothing like that. She just, send me your resume. So I sent her my resume from somebody that called her in Chicago, looking for somebody to work here in Springfield as the HR director for the state of Illinois. So it started in Chicago with somebody, I don't have a clue who they are. God don't need you to know who the blesser are. We just need to know who he is. If you know who he is, he will send the people. And I always say, Lord, put laborers in my path and make my work easier, make my life easier. And that's exactly what he did. So they called me to set up an interview, and I said, okay, I'll meet with you guys. I met with them the first time. The interview went well. They said, this is the amount we're going to pay you. We'll pay you from this amount to that amount. And I almost fell off my seat at home because I was like, oh, okay, God, this is increase. This is increase right here. And so then I got the second interview and they said, we want you to come back and have another. I might be saying a little backwards, but they said, we want to give you even more than the top of what they said they were going to give me. I said, well, they said that this is the top, but they want to give me this? I said, well, how is that even possible? When there's a salary band, you stay within that band. You don't go over the band, you know, or you don't even go under the band, but you definitely don't go over the band. And so then I got the third call, and they were like, hey, I've never seen anything like this in 17 years. We want to give you even more. I'm like, well, the glory to God. I never once asked for a dime. I never once said a salary. God will speak for you. God will speak for you. So when that door opened, I walked right into it. And I'm telling you, it's for a purpose. He told me, I'm sending you there for the people. I'm not sending you there for money. God know how to get money to you. I tell you, we sat at home and we had a $25,000 student loan debt for her. The next day, the debt was paid off. Not out of my pocket or Kurt pocket. Somebody went in and it didn't disappear. Somebody paid it. They literally paid that debt for us. So God, I'm telling you, God, he ain't just doing that for me. I know he's not just doing that for me and my household. I just don't believe he's just that selective to just bless me and my household. I just don't believe it. And so he began to open up supernatural doors. I got a call saying, hey, Pat, you've been selected as the HR professional of the year. I said, I've been selected as what? The HR professional of the year. I didn't throw my name in a hat. I didn't do that. God is the one. He said, I will make your name great. I'm telling you, he said, I will make you great. He said, I will bless you to be a blessing. I will make you the head and not the tail. I will make you the first and not the last. He said, those that were first, they're going to be last. And the ones that were last, they're going to be first. Don't look at people. Keep your eyes on God. I'm telling you, God is good. God is good, and don't stop praising him. Me and Kurt were talking about this morning. People say when the blessings go up, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. No, the Bible says, I dwell in the praises of my people. When the praises go up, he himself come down. God come and meet with us. God wants to meet with us. God wants to meet with us. He loves us with an unconditional love. He loves us so much. And I can't begin to wonder. I told Kurt, I said, well, what's next? You know, if after this, what's next? God knows where to locate you. God knows where you are. Stop looking for man. Don't be looking for man to promote you. And one thing I would really want to tell you, don't get mad at people that did you wrong. I'm seeing so many people stagnant because of that. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You're holding your own self captive. Let it go. I thank you, Pastor. I thank you, Gita. I thank you for the opportunity. I pray that something has been said. Get real with God, because God has already gotten real with you. He sent Jesus to prove that. Get real with God. God has so much he wants to give us. Joseph did all of this he went to a foreign land. He didn't know anybody there. His mama wasn't there, his daddy wasn't there, his brothers wasn't there, his sisters wasn't there. God lifted him and made him run the whole empire of Egypt. I can't wait to see what God has next. It's always increasing you more and more and more. God is not going to take me back. What glory would he get for that? Bring your faith up, because God is not coming down. Bring your faith up. Bring your expectation up. He's not coming down. He got too much for us. Too much for us. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you for the things that you're going to change in our lives, God. I thank you, God. I praise you. I just pray, Father God, that your people, including myself, will believe you on a greater level, God, because you're so good. And your mercy is everlasting, and your truth endures through all generations. And I thank you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.